You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome, 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 welcome. I pray that this is a beautiful day for you. And we just left off on our last broadcast about how, when, and how to receive the Holy Spirit, right? And I talked about how it enters your soul immediately as you begin, as you pray, and you begin a relationship with Jesus, right? So remember, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, remember? So you, again, as I said before, you are connected to the Holy Spirit. You are in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, right? So, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, do not belong to Christ. So all you need to do to receive the Holy Spirit is to say a prayer, to place your trust in Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit is a pure gift that God gives you simply by starting a relationship with Him. Jesus makes it clear in Luke chapter 11 that God is willing and ready to generously give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So if you then, though you are, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You can be confident that God will give you the wonderful gift of His Spirit when you begin a relationship with Him. So, after you know how to receive the Holy Spirit, you can connect with the Spirit personally. The Holy Spirit is more than just an impersonal force. The Spirit is a person who is a part of God. Along with the other aspects of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's important to learn about the Holy Spirit's work by reading about Him in the Bible. The Spirit works in so many different ways. And so, in Romans chapter 5, and you'll write these down if you want, here are some highlights of His work in the whole about the Holy Spirit. He loves you, and you'll find that in Romans 5:5. He cleanses you spiritually, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He teaches you. 1 John chapter 14, verse 26. He gives you spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. He helps you pray. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. He strengthens and encourages you. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. He gives you joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. He calls you to share God's love with others. Matthew 28, verse 19. And he empowers you, my friends. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can work with the Holy Spirit to pursue key qualities that God wants you to develop in your life. And those qualities are called, that's right, the fruit of the Spirit. And they're listed in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? So when you communicate with the Holy Spirit regularly, you will keep growing spiritually, my friend. You can do so through prayer, talking to God. That's what prayer is, right? It's not just keep rambling all, just rambling and, you know, filling your mouth with all sorts of prayers, which is wonderful. But really, also listen. Let God talk to you. You don't always have to be the one talking, right? You can listen too. And when we meditate, that's what we're doing. We're listening to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 declares that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you can choose to communicate with the Holy Spirit in whatever ways works best for you. Feel free to let go of any pressure you may have felt in the past to pray or meditate in certain ways. No, don't do that. Don't get all bogged down. But I don't know this prayer and I don't know. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. You can't be kept apart from our God. You are not going to be kept apart. Just open your heart. Talk from your heart. Just be yourself. Just sit quietly somewhere away from any distractions. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off the TV. Maybe sit in your backyard or sit on your porch. Somewhere where it's quiet and away from distractions. And just sit. Maybe not even say a word. Just sit in His presence and be still. And then if you feel compelled to speak and to share, then by all means do so in your own words. God loves you. He loves you just as you are, my friend. You're perfect to Him. You are perfect. Do you understand? When you look in the mirror, God looks at you in the mirror and says, "There you are. That's my perfect, perfect Rachel. There's my perfect Ashley. There's my perfect John. There's my perfect Patrick. There's my perfect Simone. There's my perfect Mary." You're perfect, my friends. You are perfect in His eyes. Always remember that. Doesn't matter what outward look you have or, "Well, I have this, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I have too many friends." Don't even go there. Don't even bring that up. Because I'm telling you, who's most important? That's right, our Lord Jesus. Who loves you? Who created you? God Almighty. He brought you here. So don't allow yourself to be discouraged by outside evil thoughts, because anything that's nasty and negative that comes to you, let me tell you, that is not going to come from God. That doesn't come from Jesus. That does not come from Jesus. So if your mind is full of that garbage, it's time to do some cleaning. Get out the Ajax and start cleaning. Okay? Get rid of it and start praying. Pray your rosary. Go to church. Maybe go to church when church is open and yet there's no mass. Just sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Just sit in front of the Blessed Altar and just sit and pray. You can sit. We have a beautiful mosaic in our church here in Richmond Hill at St. Mary Immaculate Catholic Parish. We have a beautiful, beautiful mosaic of the Sacred Heart of Jesus over to the side in our church. And I cannot tell you how many times throughout the day
I would go, and I was so deeply, deeply upset. I had just been diagnosed with bone cancer. And let me tell you, I poured my heart. I brought a box of Kleenex with me that, okay, I would bring boxes of Kleenex with me and just cry my heart out. And every time, brothers and sisters, every single time I would come out of there, I would feel at peace. I could handle the day. But up till then, it was like the restlessness in me, and I had to go, and I would sit and pray by myself and cry my heart out. And it really helped. So when you pray, you don't have to close your eyes or even sit still. You can meditate while you're walking, maybe while you're cooking or doing some other task, as long as you're focusing your mind on listening to God. The Holy Spirit is always present with you. Did you know that? He's always present with you. You can reach out to the Spirit anytime and anywhere. So start some prayer and meditation habits that you enjoy so that you can communicate with the Holy Spirit often, okay? The more we connect with God's Spirit, the more you're going to be inspired to follow where God leads you, which is away from sin and closer to Him, right? And brothers and sisters, I've sinned. I sin. I'm a sinner. I'm not happy that I'm a sinner. I know my limitations, but I know that I can overcome my sin through the grace of God, through His strength, through His peace, through prayer, through being in His presence. And brothers and sisters, it's so important to partake in the Eucharist. Please don't just go to church even when Mass is not there, but also go when Mass is there and partake in the Eucharist. And it wouldn't hurt to go to confession and say, oh, no, not that. No. It's a freeing of the soul, my friends. It is such a liberating feeling. And it's a good thing for your soul. You're acknowledging that you are not perfect. And when we partake in the Eucharist, we're going with a clean heart. So come, go to your parish priest, arrange a time for a confession. There are no special words. Just tell your parish priest what's on your mind and share those. They're private. No one's going to know. And he's not going to think less of you, right? Don't worry. God freely, my friend. So your relationship with God, which includes your relationship with His Spirit, is ongoing, and it's the most important relationship you'll ever have, not only during your earthly life, but also in heaven. So God freely gives His Holy Spirit to all believers. You can enjoy the blessing of the Spirit as soon as you begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And once you know how to receive the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that you need to do other than place your faith in Jesus. When you place your faith in Jesus, you've got it in your hands, all your worries, and you put them down at the foot of the cross, and you let go. You move your hands away. It's not your problem. It's whose problem? Jesus will take care of it. Let go of it. It's not yours anymore. You don't need to hold on to it. Because guess what? Holding on to it isn't going to help you one iota. So give it up. Hand it over to our blessed God. Let Him take care of it. And He will. Trust Him. He will take care of it. But you have to have faith and trust in Him. I gave you in the archives in Father's Quilt, there is the surrender novena. That's exactly what we have to do, my friends. We have to surrender. We have to surrender that we are letting God be God, and we are going to let go so that He can do His thing. Otherwise, you're holding Him back by holding on to it, by your lack of faith and trust. You're kind of squeezing God and saying, I don't really trust you. I don't know. Will you really take care of this? I don't know. Maybe you might forget. I don't know. Maybe you're off. You're a god. You know, you haven't got time. You know, I'm one of kabillion people. How can you remember? No, brothers and sisters. No, 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 no. Never think like that. That garbage doubt get you. As I said before, doubt comes from the evil one. It does not come from God. So trust him. Let it go. Believe me. Just, you know what? Live each day as it's the most beautiful day, no matter what garbage you're going through. Say, you know what? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to smile in spite of my suffering, in spite of my limitations, in spite of it, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank God for my blessings. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with His Holy Spirit, to fill me and strengthen me. And I'm going to rest and trust in Jesus that all will work out according to His will. And you know what? You will be so transformed. People will find you inspiring. And they'll say, oh, I'm so inspired by you. I'm just, wow, you're so calm. You know, people who have a weak faith will look at you and say, wow, how does she do that? How does he do that? Because you've rested and you trust, you know who God is. Who is our God? God is a mighty God, brothers and sisters. We can't put him in a puzzle piece and fit him into something. You can't fit God into anything. Our little brains want to fit him into something because we have a place for everything, don't we? But you can't do that with God. You can't. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is God. He is the I am. So brothers and sisters, please, if you believe in Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he rose from the dead, you know that you have a living God. You have a living Savior, not of a history book of 2,000 years ago, a living Christ who will never, ever let you go, who knows what you're going through. You just give it to him. Trust him. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask him for strength and peace. And then, my dear brothers and sisters, you just count your blessings and just take your time. Live each day one day at a time. That's all God gave us, my friends. He didn't give us more. He didn't give us a crystal ball to each of us and say, well, you know, Christina, you have till age whatever. No, we are not to live like that. We can't live in the of worry of what happened in the past to us, or live in the and what's going to happen to us in the future. We can't live like that. You can't. But you can live in the moment. You live today. Be grateful to God that you have eyes to open, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and smile, brothers and sisters. Bring your heart and your heartbeat at a calm, relaxed stage. Don't worry. Please don't worry. Be with God. Loves you. Be with him. You are with him. He is in you. And he is with you. He is in you. You are not of the flesh. You are of the spirit. We are in the world. We are in the world, yes. But we are not of the world. We are of the spirit. Remember that. The more you build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to discover about God and experience God's blessings in your life. You know something, brothers and sisters? So many times I've things have gone wrong. Who can't say that, right? You can all sit behind this mic and say the same thing. Oh yeah, I can tell you a few stories, Christina, that would make your hair stand on end. Yes, absolutely. You know, there was I remember last year during the pandemic, one of my relatives has the beginnings of Alzheimer's, and it's just the early stages. But he decided to board a bus on his own. He lives alone, and he decided to board a bus, and he was going to church, which was fine. But he didn't tell anybody. He just left his place and boarded the bus.
And when his caregiver came to take him out for a walk, he wasn't home. So he called the daughter of the father who went missing and said, "Your father's not here. I came to pick him up to go walking and he's not here." Well, all of a sudden, the first person I guess she called was here at home. And she explained to us the situation. And right away, I took out my rosary and I asked for God to be with my relative, to be with him, to take care of him, to protect him from harm, and to lead him home. And after a couple of hours, I think it was a couple of hours of missing, they were very close to actually phoning the police. And I think they were in the midst of that. He had showed up at home and he was wondering what all the kerfuffle was, but he had gone to church and he didn't tell anyone. And of course, everybody just panicked. But, you know, brothers and sisters, there's so many blessings in life that happen. And those are, that's a huge blessing, right? In a big city, being with a person with Alzheimer's, can you imagine? Very frightening. So, brothers and sisters, we always have to count those blessings. We must count every blessing that we have. And it doesn't take much to find the blessings in your life, right? So please, brothers and sisters, I pray that that you find wonder in your life. You know what I mean by that? Finding wonder. Yeah, finding wonder. You know how beautiful life is when you, even if you were to go in a park and see how birds interact, or how you can tell from their singing, either they're crying or they're singing, or they're looking for a mate, or they're upset about something. You can tell even from the animals, you can see, you know. So brothers and sisters, find wonder. Find the wonder in your life. And I pray that that every day is a beautiful day for you, that you see that. You know something? Have you ever heard of this? Jesus preparing many mansions for us, right? Have you ever heard of that? Sure you have, right? The point is, it's not the lavishness of each apartment, right? It's not like he's going to give you a fancy condo, right? It's going to be better than that. And it's the penthouse, man. We'll have the penthouse, right? So, but there is enough space for each and every one of Jesus' disciples to join him in his Father's home, right? He's there for us. He's preparing that for us, right? So, you know, there was a hymn I remember, "Victory in Jesus." I don't know if you know that. It's not a really Catholic hymn, I don't know, but I remember that somehow, you know, maybe from watching TV and watching some Christian shows with sing-alongs. And one of them, you know, "I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory." So goes the old hymn, right? The author, of course, heard about the mansion from the text of Scripture, John 14. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." But if you read in my new translations, "In my Father's house there are many rooms," right? So why do modern translations take away our mansion? What does Jesus mean even in John 14? How is this meant to be encouraging, right? So before considering what's meant by mansions, it's helpful to consider the overall thrust and meaning of the passage. John 14 is part of Jesus' final discourse with his disciples. He has said he has had a Passover meal with them. He has spoken of his betrayal, his death, and even that the disciples would abandon him. So the experience of chapter 13 had to be most discouraging to his followers. The mood is truly somber. And so Jesus asks for their trust. "Let not your hearts be troubled," he says. John 14 is filled with encouragement.
Jesus is going to the Father and will prepare a place for the disciples. They will eventually be with him again, but in the meantime, he has given to them something far greater, namely the indwelling Spirit of God. The promise of John 14 is similar to the promise made in John. So from John 14:2 to John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. So the entire passage is an encouragement to discouraged disciples. And the form of that encouragement is a promise of Jesus' continual presence. So in the present age and in the age to come. And once Jesus' bodily presence departs from them, his presence will still be with them through the Spirit. And someday the disciples and all of us who trust in God's promise will one day fully live and experience the presence of God. That is the overall thrust of the passage, right? So, to fully understand, we need to be given some help of understanding the culture in which Jesus spoke these words. So, we will go a little bit, as I say, my time today again is getting close. So, we will continue talking about this, but let's just do a little bit for now. But during the time of Jesus, the Father's house would have consisted of three generations living together, right? It was customary during the betrothal period for the bridegroom to go and prepare a place for his bride-to-be. And once he was prepared, he would return and claim his bride. It is likely, and of course we know Saint Joseph did just that, right? They lived in separate homes because Joseph was preparing a home for Blessed Mother, for his wife, Jesus Mary. So it is likely that similar language is used here. Jesus is telling the disciples that he is preparing a place for them to be together and he will return. That doesn't mean that Jesus was going to build many individual houses or even one that he would build his own lodging separate from that of the Father, but rather that he was making a way for them to be together. Right? When Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, we don't need to think about him returning to heaven and having arrived there, setting about the construction of rooms for his disciples to occupy, a task he has now been occupied for some 2,000 years. Rather, we should recognize that it was by his very going, by his betrayal, crucifixion, and exaltation, that he made it possible for us to dwell in the presence of God. The imminent departure of Jesus, which so troubled the hearts of his disciples, were in fact for their benefit. So with that in mind, I bid you goodbye, my brothers and sisters, and see you next time here on the Father's Quilt, and have a blessed day, and keep the faith, my friends. Keep the faith. Praise God. Bye for now. I've got no